Welcome, everyone, to our June IASB podcast, where we bring you the latest insights from our board meetings. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director of the IASB. In this episode, I am joined by Andres Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Ann Tarka, one of our IASB members. Our frequent listeners might recall that normally we have Andreas and Linda presenting with me, but starting last month, we decided to shake things up a little bit, and Andreas and Linda decided to rotate and have one board member join us at each month's podcast. So this month, we just finished talking about seven projects, and in this episode, we'll discuss four of them. Post-implementation reviews of IFRS 16 leases, provisions, pollutant pricing mechanisms, and management commentary. So let's start with our post-implementation reviews, or PIRs for short. Our frequent listeners have heard us say this before, but a PIR is conducted a few years after a standard has been implemented to see if it's working as intended. It is not a standard-setting project, but it could lead to standard-setting if the board was presented with evidence that the standard is not working as intended, or if there are specific priority questions about application of the new standard. This month, the IASB started its post-implementation review of IFRS 16 and discussed the project plan. Andreas, can you share some observations on this discussion?
Sure, Neely. Let me start by first sharing some background. The standard came into effect from 1st January 2019 and significantly transformed lease accounting since that time. So we went from a basically binary standard where things were either on balance or off balance to a dynamic model where entities would recognize the assets and liabilities for leases exceeding 12 months. And as you can imagine, for many entities, it substantially impacts reported assets and financial leverage. Neely, you rightly mentioned that a PIR assesses whether a standard is working as intended. So with this PIR, we will be assessing whether the objectives that were stated for IFRS 16 have been met. So for instance, when the board started the project, it got informed that users often make changes to the numbers and the financial statements, and the board intended to help users not having to do that. It should improve comparability between entities that lease assets and entities that borrow to buy assets and things like that. The PIR of IFRS 16 process will consist of two phases, as every PIR. And during the first phase of the PIR for 16, we will be identifying matters to be examined. And in doing so, we will consult with the IASB consultatives groups and various other stakeholders. We will review academic literature and regulatory reports. And we will consider findings from the FASB's PIR on their leases standard, taking into account that this was a substantially converged standard. We will then collect the feedback heard and publish a request for information in the first half of 2025, which is followed by a 120-day comment period subject to a future ISB decision. During the second phase, we will consider the comments from the public consultation along with the information gathered from any additional analysis and other consultative activities. Now, as you said, a PIR is not a standard-setting project in itself. It informs the board where the objectives have been met. And if stakeholders tell us that that was the case, we would likely not take any further action. Conversely, if stakeholders flag issues of concern to us, the board would have to make an assessment whether further action was required. And the actions arising from phase two may lead to standard setting, to an agenda decision, or to educational materials. Lastly, if we concluded that action was needed, we would need to decide when to execute that action, which could be immediately before the end of the current agenda cycle or later. So at the June meeting, we agreed with a proposed plan and the timeline for phase one of the PIR.
Thanks, Andreas. Now, you had mentioned that one of the board's activities will be to consider the findings from the FASB's PIR on leases. To help with that, the FASB and the IASB had a joint education session this month. Anne, can you tell us more about that?
Yes, Neely, happy to. The joint meeting we held with the FASB in June covered feedback on post-implementation reviews on our revenue standards and our leasing standards. Our listeners are probably aware that the FASB and the IASB issued substantially converged revenue and leasing standards so that IFRS reporters and US GAAP reporters would report similar outcomes for similar transactions. Both boards are now conducting post-implementation reviews, so this meeting gave us a chance for each board to share the feedback it is hearing and possible actions it may take. The objective is to try to keep the converged standards converged. So if one board is thinking about making changes to the standards, it is helpful for the other board to consider those changes as well. The discussion was quite informative. On revenue, it was interesting to see that both boards are hearing similar feedback. On leases, the FASB shared the feedback it has been hearing, and we will do the same at a future meeting as our post-implementation review progresses.
Thanks, Anne. And one final note on PIRs before we move on. As many of you are probably aware, we have our post-implementation review of the impairment requirements in IFRS 9 underway. We expect to issue a feedback statement summarizing the findings in July. And we expect on our post-implementation review of IFRS 15 on revenue to have our final board discussion in July and then issue a feedback statement in September. So stay tuned for that as well. Now, let's move on to our second project that we wanted to highlight in this episode, which is the provisions project. The objective of this project is to make targeted improvements to IAS 37. And Andreas, can you tell us what stakeholders have told us?
Yes. So stakeholders have told us that IAS 37 generally works well in practice and doesn't need fundamental review. However, they have identified problems with particular aspects of the standard. One of these problems stems from the perceived conflicts within the principles of IAS 37 for identifying liabilities. The seeming contradictions highlight a question: whether, and if so, when, an obligation conditional on an entity's own future actions is a present obligation and hence a liability. This question can be addressed and has been addressed as part of our conceptual framework project the board concluded in 2018. So the first improvement would be to align IAS 37 with the concepts in the revised conceptual framework. This would clarify the requirements and guidance supporting the present obligation recognition criterion and lead to timelier recognition of provisions for some levies. IFRIC 21 would be replaced with a new application requirements for levies. Another improvement I want to mention relates to the measurement of long-term provisions and involves standardizing the rates that entities use to discount future cash flows to their present value. The proposal is that entities would use a risk-free rate with no adjustment for non-performance risk, that is, the risk that the entity will fail to settle the provision. Risk-free rates are observable in the market, so they are easier for preparers of financial statements to use, and the resulting estimates are less subjective. I'm happy to share that this month's discussion was the last round of technical deliberations. We discussed sweep issues, transition requirements, and an analysis of the likely costs and benefits of the proposed amendments. Lastly, we granted staff permission to begin the balloting process for the exposure draft that we hope to publish in Q4, this year with a 120-day comment period.
Thanks, Andreas. So moving on to the third topic, pollutant pricing mechanisms, or PPMs for short. These are arrangements that aim to create economic incentives for entities to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants. PPMs are divided into compliance schemes, so mandatory, regulated by governing bodies, such as emissions trading schemes, and voluntary schemes, where entities voluntarily offset emissions by purchasing carbon offsets. And existing IFRS accounting standards, unfortunately, do not provide explicit guidance on how they should be accounted for. Many respondents to our third agenda consultation rated a project on pollutant pricing mechanisms as a high priority. However, it was not rated as highly as some of the other projects, for example, intangibles and statement of cash flows. So it was added to what we call our reserve list of projects, meaning that it would only be started before the next agenda consultation if sufficient resources, both ours and stakeholders, become available. And can you tell us what we discussed at this month's board meeting?
Yes, Nelly. Since completing the third agenda consultation, several stakeholders have suggested that the IASB should prioritize a project on pollution pricing mechanisms. Stakeholders have indicated that there's an increase in their use. They've highlighted inconsistent reporting, and they've stressed the need for specific guidance. So in response to these stakeholder comments, the staff have undertaken horizon scanning activities to assess whether the situation has changed since the third agenda consultation, so that the IASB now needs to prioritise a project on pollutant pricing mechanisms. Our staff engaged with the IASB's consultative groups and various stakeholders. One of the most useful sources of information was the survey we conducted among the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum members, and I want to thank these members who took part in the survey for their invaluable contribution. As a result of these activities, we found that information on carbon credits in financial statements is often insufficient and inconsistent. Also, that reporting on pollutant pricing mechanisms shows considerable diversity in accounting practices. Stakeholders also noted an increasing prevalence of pollutant pricing mechanisms and highlighted enforcement challenges. At the June meeting, the IASB was updated on horizon scanning activities. We didn't make any decisions, but the staff will use our comments in developing a recommendation on whether to prioritise the project. Moving forward, the IASB will consult with the Advisory Council and the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum to discuss whether to prioritise a project on PPMs, with discussions scheduled for ASAF in July and the Advisory Council in September 2024. So please stay tuned.
Thanks, Anne. So let's move on to the final project that we'll discuss today, which is management commentary. Now, this month, the board made a milestone decision, but I'm going to leave our listeners in suspense. And before we get to that, provide you with a little bit of background. As many of you are probably aware, management commentary is a general purpose financial report that is required in many jurisdictions alongside an entity's financial statements and its sustainability related information. It is known under various other names, including MD&A, or Management Discussion and Analysis, Operating and Financial Review, or Strategic Report. The IASB has IFRS Practice Statement 1, Management Commentary, which it issued 14 years ago. Since then, requirements and guidelines on narrative reporting have been introduced by various jurisdictions and organizations, and the information needs of primary users have evolved. Recognizing these changes, we initiated the Management Commentary Project several years ago to address reporting shortcomings and build on innovations in narrative reporting. In May of 2021, the IASB published its exposure draft from this project, overhauling the Management Commentary Practice Statement, addressing gaps and incorporating innovations in narrative reporting. Anne, can you share some developments since then?
Yes, Nelly. The IASB has received feedback from many respondents. They generally supported the proposals in the exposure draft, but also noted the interaction between the management commentary project and the work of the ISSB, which was about to be created at that time. Most respondents asked for connectivity between the two boards and suggested that the project should be paused until the ISSB is operational and progresses its work on its first standards. So, as you may recall, we have done just that. We paused the project. Since doing so, the ISSB was created. In addition, the integrated reporting framework became part of the materials of the IFRS Foundation, following the merger of the IFRS Foundation with the Value Reporting Foundation. In the Management Commentary Exposure Draft, the IASB has built on many innovations in narrative reporting from this material. Subsequently, the ISSB published a consultation on its agenda priorities and has now decided on its priorities for the next 2 years. But I'll turn over to Andreas to break the suspense. Please share what happened at the board meeting this month.
So, at the meeting this month, we unanimously decided to move forward with finalising the proposal set out in the exposure draft. That decision was based on a number of considerations, and let me take you through them. Firstly, there was demand for better information about the factors that have affected or could affect a company's ability to create value and generate cash flows, including in the long term. Second, additional outreach the staff conducted in the past few months showed that the revised practice statement would provide a comprehensive resource for regulators and companies to support improvement and greater global alignment in these types of reports. This is the case even though the IFRS standards do not require companies to prepare a management commentary. Thirdly, the finalization enables the IASB to codify innovations in reporting, including concepts from the IFRS Foundation Integrated Reporting Framework that you just mentioned, Anne, in a set of standard-like requirements for management commentary designed to support investor-focused best practice. Fourth, management commentary sometimes provides the home for a company's sustainability disclosures. Finalization supports connectivity between a company's management commentary and both its financial statements and sustainability disclosures, which is a key aim of the project, and demonstrate the connectivity with our sister board. And lastly, finalizing the project would also provide a stepping stone towards greater integration and reporting in the future. The key to this decision was a commitment by the board to only make targeted changes to the proposals in the exposure draft based on the feedback received. So the IASB expects to issue the revised practice statement in the first half of 2025. In refining its proposals, the IASB will collaborate with the ISSB and consult with the Integrated Reporting and Connectivity Council.
Thank you, Andreas. So, Anne, because you're the lucky one with this opportunity, one of the things that we try to end the podcast with is just questioners from our listeners. Last month, Nick's lucky question was what his favorite accounting standard was. And that's sort of like picking amongst all of your children. So I won't do that with you today. Instead, the question we have is, what is your favorite part about being an IASB member?
Oh, Nelly, it's such a hard question. My most favorite thing is getting out and about and speaking to our stakeholders and hearing what our stakeholders have got to say about what we're working on, about what they wish we were working on, about what we have worked on in the past. So that whole feedback loop with a whole range of stakeholders, because as everybody knows, we have so many people involved in different areas of work across so many jurisdictions, and it's a very rich environment to work in. So that's my favorite part.
Absolutely. I fully concur with that. Well, we'll go ahead and conclude this podcast. Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or feedback, please do get in touch with us at communications@ifrs.org. And please do join us next month. Thank you so much.